Now this is more than a hobby. Give them more like I'm Bobby. This is my team and they got me. Shout out to Billy, we're bonding. We got us 3 cups, mate. I know it ain't too late. We'll turn that 3 into 4 and turn that 4 into 8. So come on, you Irons. It's time, throw on your claret and blue and listen up to this rhyme. 112 years, wow, iconic bowling ground at London Stadium now. Blowing bubbles from the crowd, let the Premier League know. The Irons going for the goal, scoring 100 plus goals like Paulo Di Canio. So kick it off with the homies, known as Brawley and Tony, and keep on blowing those bubbles until they bring us a trophy. I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, and I'm forever blowing bubbles.
Welcome to another episode of the American West Ham Podcast. This is one of your co-hosts, Tony, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other line, I got Brawley out in St. Louis. What's up, dude?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
Well, I jumped off a bar stool yesterday, and I'm pretty damn sore, so not great. However, I'm excited to do a podcast again, if that makes up for anything.
Well, what were you doing on a bar stool, and what were you doing jumping off?
I was trying to change the fire alarm in my apartment, which I ended up not doing because it was too high to reach. And I tried to land on my bed because I couldn't get off the bar stool, and I missed. So, not great. Wow. Okay, anyway, this is not a jumping off a bar stool podcast. This is the American West Ham Podcast coming at you Season 2, Episode 6. Any early business before we get into the Brighton game?
Well, the first thing I would like to talk about is shirts. We do have shirts available to purchase for you guys. If you want pictures of them, just DM us and we'll send you out a picture. But they do cost $25 to buy plus shipping, and you'll just pay via PayPal if you'd like one. We've had a bunch of people inquire about shirts over the last week, which is great. Excited to see that people are enjoying the stuff. But if you are interested in a t-shirt, feel free to send us a DM or an email. And we'll get right back with you. You can either DM Tony or myself or the podcast, and you can get yourself one. Outside of that, Tony, I don't have anything else to talk to you about apart from, I guess we have to kind of get into Brighton, don't we?
I don't really want to get into the Brighton game, but we'll keep it short and brief. So I predicted a 2-0 win for West Ham United. You predicted a 1-0 win for West Ham United, and we were both horribly wrong. But that leaves us, I'm still in the lead with 4 points in our prediction standings, and you have 2 points for anybody wondering. It's 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, and 0 points for a loss. So win is correct score and correct result. Draw is just a correct result. Loss is missing both. So we kept the same lineup as Manchester United, played them extremely well at home. What was the difference this week?
Well, first, I didn't even get to watch it. I was at work. I tried to work and watch at the same time, and that doesn't usually go very well. I kind of saw the Murray goal and just tuned out after that. So I got to be honest, I didn't see a whole hell of a lot of the game. I tried to listen to some of it, but it's it's just typical West Ham. You go and you beat all these great teams, and you play really well, and then you go away to Brighton and then lose. So pretty typical West Ham. That's, if you ask most West Ham fans, they'll say that's the West Ham way. Just the unpredictability of the team is very frustrating, and I think it shows in our prediction league that but what was the difference? I have no idea. I didn't get to see it. I didn't really watch the highlights because I was annoyed with the result, and when we lose, I typically don't go back and rewatch it. So I'll leave that judgment up to you because I think you saw some of it.
Yeah, I ended up watching most of the game. And I think the annoying thing for me, which I feel like the same thing I've seen on Twitter, is, yeah, we should have got a result. And it was, quote-unquote, the West Ham way to play very strong and then drop a game like that. But someone said on Twitter that I thought was actually a pretty good tweet was that the team didn't show that same energy they did against Man United. They didn't show that same strive they did in some of the other previous results that we recently had. And I think that was the difference maker. And Pellegrini said it himself, complacency set in. You know, you can't beat the big boys and then not show up at Brighton. every Premier League team can beat any Premier League team. We see top six teams lose all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, from what it sounded like to me, is it sounded like we dominated the game, and we definitely should have gotten something out of the game. On another day, Arnie probably finishes a couple of those chances, and we probably win the game. But I can't say that I saw any of it, so I can't say if that's accurate or not. But that's kind of the vibe I was getting on social media after the game.
I wouldn't use the word dominated. I just don't think we took our chances. I don't think either team dominated. I said to you, I think, when we were texting, is it was one of the most boring games that I've ever watched. You know, I consistently was just looking down and looking up at the screen while I was trying to work as well. And I don't – the time went by so fast because nothing was happening. You know, I think when I watched you, next thing you know, because I had the audio in my ears as well, and next thing you know, it was halftime. I didn't really even look down at the screen too often because I didn't hear the commentators shout or get excited. So I wouldn't say we dominated. I just thought it seemed like a boring game where both teams couldn't get a handle on it.
Yeah, and typical Glenn Murray scoring against us. It's him and Lukaku seem to be our two guys that always score against us. Apart from last week, Lukaku did not score against us. But Glenn Murray, every game he plays against us, it seems like he scores. If that's, I should have put money on it because you can guess it every single time. So
I think we're 0-3 against Brighton.
Yeah, in the last two seasons, yeah, they took 6 points off of us last season.
Yeah,
they took 6 points from us last season. And this season, they took another three. So in our last three matches, we've lost all three against them.
No, not great. And I think that they're starting to become one of those boogie teams that – come on, man. Brighton of all teams. I didn't think that they were that impressive. But again, like I said, if you don't show up, you're not going to get a result. And that's pretty much happened to us.
Yep, totally agree.
But – that was just a quick assessment because we have more positive news, the international break. You know, at first, if we would have won that Brighton game, I would have said, man, why did we have to get the international break now? Because we would have came in with some big results. But I think this will allow Pellegrini to whip them back into shape and come out hot against Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so because – I mean, I just despised international breaks. I hate them so much. I will say this Nations League has made life much more exciting for international breaks because instead of them being friendlies in UEFA competitions, they now have competitive fixtures. So tonight, it's Monday night here in Central USA, and today I watched the England-Spain game. And that was a very exciting match. I thoroughly enjoyed it. What a massive result for England, picking up a 3-2 win away at Spain. I know Spain haven't lost a competitive fixture at home. I can't remember how long it's been, but it's been forever since they lost a competitive fixture at home. And England beat them, and they pick up 3 points in group whatever they're in, Group G, I think. And I love the new Nations League format, and it makes it competitive. But yeah, we had a few guys from West Ham go on international duties. I know starting with Marko Arnautovic, were you okay with him going on international duty with him even being injured?
No, but at the same time, I'm not going to deny someone for representing their national team. You know, I don't really like international football. I mean, I do watch the USA. I went to a couple World Cup qualifiers before, and obviously if they were in the World Cup, I'd be thinking differently. But I don't get excited about international because I just don't think United States is that good. I've said before, I went to an England game before, and it was cool, and I thought I was going to be super into it, but I just wasn't because I'm not British. You know, I thought, man, you know.
English. You're not English.
Yeah, excuse me. You know what I meant. I'm not English. You know, I guess the only England team I said before that I get into is the England cricket team.
Yeah.
But, other than that, I'm not going to deny someone from getting into their national team because that's an incredible thing to play for your country. So Marko Arnautovic played for Austria, and he was the captain and scored a 71st-minute winner against Northern Ireland. And did you see the celebration?
Well, I saw pictures from it. What did he actually do?
Nothing crazy. He just started laughing in the face of Evans, and I just thought it was pretty funny.
Did he pull something out? Like, I saw him holding something. It looked like a shin pad or something.
I thought it was his armband.
Oh, maybe it was. I couldn't tell what it was in the pictures. That's why I was curious.
Yeah, so that was that. Snodgrass got a call-up for Scotland. However, he did not feature in either of the games because of an ankle knock that kept him out. And he's supposedly supposed to be back against Tottenham, but I'm not fully sure about that.
That's good. I know Arnie was sent home from Austria's training camp because the agreement was that he would play in the competitive fixture and sit out the friendly. So I know he has a slight knee injury, and Austria went ahead and sent him back to London to be with West Ham to rehabilitate his slight knock that he has. So I guess the two clubs made an agreement and said that he would play in the one game but not in the other, and they sent him home, which is good. There appears to be no more damage done to the knee, so it sounds like he'll be ready to go for Spurs as well. So that's fantastic news. I hate playing without Arnie. It feels like our whole team goes when he's not there, especially when we're playing Antonio up front, who's just can't even seem to kick a ball properly at this particular moment in time. So I guess Fabianski, he was called into Poland for his international duty, but he didn't get to play. Wojciech Szczesny is the starter there. So Fabianski on the bench did not feature in the 3-2 loss to Portugal.
No, he did.
He did
play. He played 90 okay, in that sorry. One.
I got it backwards.
Yeah, good.
So he did play against Portugal. They lost 3-2. And then when they played Italy, they lost 1-0, but Szczesny was in goal. So my apologies.
Yep. And then Yarmolenko for Ukraine, he was in the 18, but did not feature when they played Italy as well. And that was a 1-1 draw. Masuaku played most of the game for the Congo against Zimbabwe in their 2-1 loss. However, he came home early with a slight injury as well. So
I think it was an ankle injury, they said, or something like that.
Yep, so not ideal for a few players coming back with slight injuries. And
I wouldn't be opposed to bringing in Cresswell if Masuaku's injured, because I heard Masuaku had an absolute howler against Brighton from the sounds of things. So it might be good to get Cresswell in there because he's got fresh legs.
Yeah, I think we all knew Masuaku's defending hasn't been great. He made a key one or two tackles against Brighton, but overall, from the get-go, we've always said that Masuaku's more of a threat to go forward. Look at the Spurs game at Wembley when he did that nasty little trickaroo through the two defenders. I look at Masuaku is a winger who sits and plays left back, and you hope that he makes
a few tackles. Yeah, I just don't think he's a left back. I just don't think he's a left back. I think if you're going to play him as a left winger or maybe even a left-sided midfielder, but I just always have thought he's too much of a liability to be playing at left back. Left wing back, I think, more suits him because I think there's less defensive responsibility from a left wing back because you have
cover.
The extra man to cover, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Cresswell come in the lineup on Saturday. So
we'll get into the left back situation because I want to address that with one of our Q&As. And
sure.
The last international from the first team, because there was a bunch on the U20 and U23 squad, which I'm not going to get into. But Balbuena played in Paraguay's training camp. They did not have any actual games. It was an 8-day training camp because they had a new manager come in. So that's kind of cool to get another call up there. Other than that, that was our only senior internationals.
So we'll move into Q&A now. We only had a couple of people send in questions this week. I think we sent out the tweet at a funky time that not a lot of people saw it. So we only have two questions this week. But it's one of my favorite sections, and I'm glad we got a couple to do because we like hearing from you guys, the listeners. So the first question we have here is from Scott Davis. Shout out, Scott. Thank you for all that you do for us. His question is, hearing a lot of names coming out for moves to West Ham in January. Is that due to Pellegrini upping the level of the club or just typical nonsense agents are causing? So I'll throw that question to you first, Tony.
I'm going to go with agent nonsense. And the reason I say that is January business is never good. In January, you're never going to get what you need at the price you need it. For example, if you need somebody, other teams can take advantage of that because they can really see in January what you're lacking. So if you say, hey, West Ham needs a left back, and outside backs are tough to get in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So let's say somebody has a left back that they're not using, which, okay, the other question is, why aren't they using them? Are they not good enough?
Sure. Then,
so a team's not using someone who might not be good enough for their team can overcharge us for somebody that we need. I don't like January business. So stirring up big names, not feeling it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think there are I think Pellegrini has a factor. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with January business per se, but I think you'll see a bigger caliber name start to become available to us because Pellegrini, especially if they played for Man City in the past or had him at any other club. So I think that has a factor, but I think you're right in saying agents cause up a lot of drama that's unnecessary, especially during the January window when players are more desperate to get a move away because they're either not getting the playing time that they want or they don't get along with the manager, something along those lines. And you're right. Prices are inflated in January. And, I mean, just look at Jordan Hugill last season. We paid $10 million for him. I mean, that's just absolutely ludicrous. I don't even know how Hugill's doing at Middlesbrough. But $10 million was way, 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 way too much for him. And again, I know we had people say he's English, that's worth more. Yes, but prices are definitely way too high in January. And I think there are a few positions that need addressing, one of them being left back, especially if Cresswell doesn't start to turn his form around. And again, I don't think Masuaku is good enough. And then maybe another midfielder, and if it depends on if our strikers are happy in the health situation. But in terms of answering Scott's question, I think it's more of the agents touting names around than Pellegrini affecting the moves.
The other thing I wanted to say about the January window is all these people want to sell off Antonio, want to sell off Carroll, and get rid of some of our dead waste. But then I see crazy quotes for our players that are not in favor. So where do you think a team is going to pay an extreme amount of money from a player who can't get into our side? I just don't understand. You know,
well,
it kind of goes back to like who's going to pay $25 million for Antonio?
Well, I think, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be that high. I think Antonio has, if you compare him to Adama Traore, I think that's the player that people are comparing him to. And I think he went for somewhere in the region of $20 million to Wolves from Middlesbrough. So it depends on if people really pay attention to how he's been playing lately, which I'm sure the clubs that are buying him will be. So I think he's probably worth somewhere in the range between 10 to 15 million would be a fair price for him because I think he still has a serviceable trait in the Premier League. But I think he's just, I don't know. It just seems like he's fallen out of love with the game ever since he got that new deal. He hasn't been the same. He's picked up a few injuries, but he's got the ability that every single manager wants, and that's pace. And if someone sees that and they think they can turn him into the player that he used to be, I think he might go for 10 to 15 million. But 25 is probably a little bit high on him. But same thing with Andy Carroll. Who's going to want to pay Andy Carroll, especially the wages that Andy Carroll is on? That's the biggest thing. For a guy that hasn't seen the pitch, he only plays, I think, 1/4 of his games with West Ham. Mm. So he's been out of the 38 games in the season, he's only suiting up for 10 games-ish. and that is just ridiculous. So he's going to have to turn his health around before I think anyone's going to come in for him. I think, oh, God.
Well, Antonio as well, though. He's had his injury problems, too.
Yeah, not to the extent that Andy Carroll has, though.
No, not to the same extent, but he's still been in and out of the side.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Well, January is always a funny window. I'm sure we'll sign a few guys, and I love the transfer windows. I just think it's exciting.
So the next question is from James L., who goes by Iowa Iron on Twitter. How does Raleigh feel about the season? What NFL...
Sorry, I forgot to add the important bit to that. How does Brawley feel about the Rams start to the season? Sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, what in the world is this kind of question? I couldn't figure. Okay, so this is an NFL question since we have the NFL at Wembley this last weekend and the upcoming game where I'll be at the Eagles game against the Jaguars. How does Brawley feel about the NFL season and the Rams? What NFL team does he support now? So are you still a Rams fan? I'm not sure by the jersey you're wearing.
Yeah, so I think he was referring to, I think he probably saw on Twitter that I was talking to someone about the Rams and the city of St. Louis, and he may have not heard me talk about them on the show before, but yes, I am still a massive Rams fan. We're the only undefeated team left in the NFL now that the Chiefs lost to the Patriots last night. We are 6-0 for the first time since 2001. For those that don't know, we went to the Super Bowl that season. We lost to the Patriots. I was just a young kid at that time. I was only, I guess I would be 8 years old at that point in my life, 7 or 8. And so I don't remember the Rams, the greatest show on turf. But yes, I am still a massive LA Rams fan. I am currently in my Todd Gurley alternate jersey. And I'm buzzing. It's bittersweet to a certain point because you could see how little they wanted to win here in St. Louis because we had Jeff Fisher. They kept him because he'd moved a team before because he moved the Houston Oilers to Tennessee, to Nashville. And they didn't put any money in. And now you see, I mean, they're getting guys in like Brandon Cooks and Dominican Sue. I know this isn't a LA Rams or NFL podcast, but it is bittersweet to a certain extent, but I've never seen a Rams team this good, so I am very, very excited this season right now.
Any of our listeners who was at the Raiders game this weekend or going to be at any of the NFL games coming up, hit us up on Twitter as well because we would love to know who else is a big NFL fan that are listeners who also love West Ham. Again, like I said, I'll be at the Eagles game. That's why I'm coming over this next week.
Is this your first NFL game at Wembley?
Yes. Yep. Okay. This will be cool. My first NFL experience at Wembley. I'm a bit perplexed, I would say. A lot of people have told me it's a bizarre atmosphere. Oh, we talked about it in the last pod. How everybody wears whatever jersey you want. So we'll be interesting.
I heard this last one. I think the Raiders and the Seahawks are two of the top three supported teams over there.
Really?
And it sounded like they had a lot more of those fans than there are most other games, which is good to hear. I think it's the Raiders, Jags, and Seahawks are the top three, and the Jags are probably number one.
Well, but, I would assume so, since they're the most consistent team over there, the Jaguars.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're talking about Shad Khan moving them over there for 4 games a season and playing the other 4 in Jacksonville, which will be extremely bizarre, but I don't know. And another question I have for you was this one of the games that was supposed to be played at Tottenham's new stadium, or was this one always supposed to be at Wembley?
From my understanding, this one was always at Wembley.
Okay, because I know the last one was supposed to be at Tottenham Stadium, and they had to move it to Wembley. And so there was, like, I think 30,000 extra tickets to sell, which I'm sure the ticket office was happy with, but I know the NFL was not happy that the game had to be played at Wembley.
No. Okay, so Tottenham is our next game. Go to London Derby, Derby. I'll be at the game bringing my American friend David. He is a Liverpool supporter. So I'm going to give him a proper West Ham experience. Maybe not Bowling Ground experience, but it'll be awesome to take him to a West Ham game against Spurs, take him to the Supporters Club, do all that fun stuff before the game, meet the crew. I'm super excited about that.
And it's a Saturday at a 3 p.m. kickoff over there, which never, ever happens because it seems like Sky always changes this fixture for TV. So it's nice that it's played on a Saturday at 9 a.m. over here, 3 p.m. over there.
Yeah, I think I'm excited about it because the last three games, I got 2 out of 3 wins. So I was at the 1-0 final game against Spurs at the Bolin. I was at the 3-2 loss at White Hart Lane when Nordvik gave up the penalty. And then the 1-0 win at home that same season, which was incredible. That was when I was living over there. So I have a fairly good record against Spurs. And I just absolutely love the atmosphere. It gives me chills just talking about it. The only thing I wish it was a 5:30 British time kickoff. Just night games against Spurs are incredible because people are drinking all day and it's absolute carnage. But I think that we can get a good result here. We have Vertonghen out for Tottenham. Eriksen may or may not be back. I don't know if you saw. Was it official?
Yeah, I was looking on the transfer market website, so I don't know how credible these. Transfer market's a fairly reputable source for injuries and stuff, but yeah, so they're. It's not like the NFL where they're giving you up to the minute injury news. I think Premier League teams can be a little more secret about these injuries. So unless you follow someone like X for us that they have, I think is where you're going to find the most credible stuff. But yeah, I think Eriksen may or may not play. And then it sounds like Dembele and Dele Alli have issues as well, and they may or may not play. So if we can get those three out of the lineup for against us, I think that would be nothing but good news for us. And then I know Spurs have a very tough schedule coming up. So they play obviously Saturday against us. And then Wednesday, they travel to PSV in the Champions League. So they'll be going out to the Netherlands and then coming back on the weekend to play Man City at home. And then midweek, they come back to the London Stadium again and play us in the Carabao Cup. So they have a very busy schedule. May or may not be resting players for us. I think the more players they rest against us, the better. And I would love to get 2 wins out of them in the next 2 weeks. So one question I have for you, Tony, if you had to only pick 1 win out of the 2 games, would you rather us beat them in the league or would you rather us beat them in the League Cup? Which one would you rather see us win?
Oh, no. Why do you got to ask me that? If I had to only choose 1, I would pick the League Cup. If I could win both, I would. I'm going to root for us for both, obviously. But if I had to pick only 1, it would be the League Cup. I want a cup run so bad. The only thing I will say, though, is I want an FA Cup run. Because if we make the League Cup final, it's the same day that I just bought $300 tickets to the Stadium Series Flyers Penguins game.
Okay.
So I will have to sell my Stadium Series tickets and fly over to England because I'm not missing a cup final if we were to make it.
And Andy's coming over for that game too, isn't he? So he would then have to decide which one he would rather do too, correct?
Nope. Because we already both decided that if we were to make a cup final, we'd...
You're giving that up. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but however, thank God for America because I would never sell West Ham tickets over face value. But in America, I have no problem selling Flyers tickets or any other tickets over face value and tout. In England, I would never. In America, it's definitely okay. So
I don't know why that is. It's weird. I've noticed that too. Because it doesn't seem like it's frowned upon at all here to sell tickets over face value. But if you go over there and do it, you're made out to seem like a terrible person. So that's a strange cultural difference between the two. I guess if I had to pick between the two, I think I'm going to go League Cup as well. The only reason that is I think we can lose the league game and be fine. and it'd be fine. But obviously, if you lose the cup game, you're out no matter what. Right. And I'm so desperate to go on a cup run. So I think I'm in the same boat as you. I think if I had to pick one, I would go with the League Cup. One more side question I have. I tried to get this question on the West Ham way. I sent it in, but I don't think I did it quite in time. Would you rather finish 17th in the league and reach the FA Cup final? Not even win the cup, but you just reach the final. Or finish 7th in the Premier League, not qualify for Europe. So you just narrowly miss out on Europe, but it's a great season. So if you had to pick going to a cup final and finishing 17th or finishing 7th in the league and not qualifying for Europe, which season would you prefer?
So the question is that, so that it wouldn't guarantee a cup final win, correct?
No, it's not guaranteed a win. You're just getting to the final.
Okay. So I'm going to contradict my Spurs answer, though. And I think I'm going to pick 7th in the league. Because I really, 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 really want a cup final. I've been saying that for all the time we've done this podcast and my whole time supporting West Ham. Okay, I don't care about the league. As long as we don't get relegated, I enjoy watching West Ham, seeing my friends, and just watching games. We could lose every game as long as we don't get relegated. I wouldn't care. I mean, I'd care, but I wouldn't be distraught. You know, but at the same time, if we finish 7th, I think that would give us a lot more money and big momentum going into the next season, and I think that would attract players, that would give us more stability for the future, and then maybe a cup final the next season. Is that a fair answer?
Yeah, I think so.
What about you?
I think I'm going to go cup final, especially if it's the FA Cup final. I didn't really specify. If it's the it's so close. I think either way, I'm going to take a cup final in 17th over a really good season of finishing 7th, because I am desperate to see West Ham play at Wembley in a final. I know in my lifetime we've been in a final. We played Liverpool in 2006 in the FA Cup. I know I hate to bring it up, but that did happen in my lifetime, although I wasn't as huge of a fan as I am now. I think that season was the season I first fell in love with the club.
You would have been what, 12 or 13? Because we're about the same age, right?
Yeah, 2006, I would have been 12. Right. So, yeah. So I was just starting to watch games with my dad that season. And that was at the Millennium Stadium. That wasn't even at Wembley. The only game I've seen us play at Wembley is the Blackpool playoff final. And then obviously the games against Spurs. But those don't really count. So I'm going to take the cup final, I think, and just barely stay in the league. But that's why I wanted to ask it, because it is a tough question. And if you guys at home listen to this, I'd be curious to see what you guys have to say about this, because I think it's going to be a mixed bag of reviews. Clearly, Tony, you and I agree on most things, but we're different on this. So if you guys at home send us a tweet, would you rather West Ham finish 7th in the league, not qualify for Europe, or would you rather take a cup final and us finish 17th in the league, just narrowly stay up? So I'm interested to hear your guys' answers to that. So send us your answers to the pod, if you would, please.
Yeah, okay. So let's wrap this up here. Predictions for the Spurs game. You go first this time, since I went first last time.
I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think it'll be a great game, and we always turn up for these games, but I'm going to go 1-1 draw. I think it's easily a game we can win. It's the West Ham way. We beat Man United, we lose to Brighton, and then we go and beat Spurs. It seems like it's the way we do business, but for me, I think I'm going to go a draw and be a little bit more conservative, and I hope we win, don't get me wrong, but I think a 1-1 draw will probably be the result.
I'm thinking 2-2 draw, and I'm hoping it is an 89th minute equalizer, so that it's absolutely incredible. I don't think we'll be able to sneak out the win, and I hope we get that win in the League Cup. However, I also don't want to take this L, especially the first game back in a while. So I'm going to go with 2-2 draw. And
fair enough.
That's about it for this podcast. Since typical phrase I always say, I always mess it up. Can you tell us where to contact?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter @WestHamPodUSA if you don't. If you want to send us an email, feel free to email us. We're at AmericanWestHamPod@gmail.com. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Tony, it's been a great show as always. And we'll see you guys next week. And come on, you Irons.
Give them more like I'm Bobby. This is my team and they got me. Shout out to Billy, we're bonding. We got us 3 cups, mate. I know it ain't too late. We'll turn that 3 into 4 and turn that 4 into 8. So come on, you Irons. It's time, throw on your claret and blue and listen up to this rhyme. 112 years, wow. Iconic bowling ground at London Stadium now. Blowing bubbles from the crowd. Let the Premier League know. The Irons going for the goal. Scoring 100-plus goals like Paulo Di Canio. So kick it off at the homies, known as Brawley and Tony, and keep on blowing those bubbles until they bring us a trophy. I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, and I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey, I believe it, I know that we're winning. I've been here since the very beginning. Yeah. Dreaming of the gold medal, we're lifting. Set it up like we're penalty kicking. 57,000 people packed. Hear the fans shout from the back. Take the ball and then we all attack. Make opponents feel the hammer crack. Wild nights, highlight stats. Tony got you covered on that. Brawley got the stories and the facts. Together everything is down packed. 3-time gold winners, but now it's time to get another cup. West Ham fans stand up. West Ham fans stand up. I'm forever blowing bubbles. And my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, said I'm forever blowing bubbles, and my fortune's always hiding. It's the American West Ham Podcast, y'all best dialing. I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles, I'm forever blowing bubbles. Hey.
Big wins, big games, big moments, big rewards. Absolutely. Disappointment. All season, promotion demanded by West Ham. On a sunny afternoon in May at Wembley, promotion to the Premier League has been delivered. Ricardo Garcelay, one of the January arrivals, with the biggest goal he will have ever scored. And West Ham, Wembley winners again. For the first time since 1980, but more significantly, back in the Premier League.